Hi, good afternoon, and welcome along to the latest edition of the Korean FC podcast. We're recording this on a Wednesday in midweek, and I think probably it's safe to say we're all still basking in the glow of what was a memorable day last Saturday at the Showgrounds. Of course, it was the first game on the new artificial surface at the Showgrounds, and it coincided with, probably without doubt, one of the biggest crowds that has been seen at the ground for many a year. And I'm glad to say that the two guys that are with me this afternoon both were in attendance on Saturday. So we'll start and, well, first of all, we'll introduce our regular contributor, Johnny McNabb. Johnny, how are you?
Hi, all good, Damien. I had a good weekend, obviously, Korean one and big crowd there. And I hopefully kick on now and get another good result on Monday night.
Yep, and our special guest this week is a guy that's familiar to all Korean supporters, no doubt. And as I mentioned earlier, he was able to attend the game on Saturday. And so it's a big welcome and a big hello to Jamie McGonigal. How are you, Jamie?
All good, Damien. How are you?
Couldn't be better, thanks. Couldn't be better. So, yeah, I believe you were at the game on Saturday, Jamie. So, first of all, I guess the first question is, what did you make of the game? What was your impressions?
I thought Korean were by far the better team. If I'm being totally honest, I probably expected a bit more from Balamina as well. They didn't sort of, Korean just brushed them aside with ease. I would say Korean didn't even need to be at their best to get the result. But when you score goals like the way Skinner scored his goal, I mean, there's a chance of stopping something like that.
Funny, I was just thinking about Skinner whenever I was introducing you coming on here, and you and Skinner had linked up as a front pairing a number of years ago when you first came through the ranks at Korean, a number of years ago now. Are you surprised that Skinner's still there doing the business?
not really, no. I think a lot of people would maybe slag him for work rate and stuff, but people don't see what he does maybe behind the scenes, the gym sessions he does and that, and I have to be thankful for him. I mean, he was a great strike partner for me growing up, and as Johnny and them boys would say to me, he made me who I am. Like, so I owe a lot to him.
Johnny, is that right? Would you say that Jamie owes his career to Skinner? Would that be right?
He definitely does. We've definitely wound him up a bit that there, but no, them two had a really, really good partnership. Obviously, the year we were going for the league. And we won the Irish Cup. It was Skinner and Jamie up front, and they complemented each other well, because obviously Jamie's got a bit of pace, they can run in behind, and then Skinner holds the ball up. So yeah, they worked really well. Obviously Skinner was the main man, and Jamie just was there anyway.
Very good. But they were a good combination, and as I said, Jamie mentioned it, Skinner rolling back the years, not only with the goal he scored on Saturday, but also his all-around team performance, Johnny. And it was interesting to note that was one of the things that Balamina manager David Jeffrey remarked upon in his post-match interviews, that he actually paid tribute to Owen Bradley and just the influence that he had on the game.
Yeah, I would say even from the Clifford game, the second game of the season, Skinner has been fantastic for us. He obviously didn't play against Linfield, but he's played every other game, and he wasn't playing against Bangor as well, but he's played every other league game since then, and he's arguably one of our best players this season. And Saturday, he held the ball up well. And obviously, he was around for the first goal. I think he was just a nuisance. And obviously, Chevy put it away. And the second goal was a cracker. Obviously, we were in the press box. But I loved him being in the real end when he hit that one. And yeah, he hit it well. And I think he's playing the Gaelic as well. So he's keeping himself in good shape. He actually looks like he's lost a bit of weight as well. And yeah, he's 37 and still playing two sports. Absolute freak of nature. And yeah, if he keeps that going, him and Chevy can definitely build up a good partnership.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Skinner playing in the Gaelic, and he's starring in the Gaelic too. Like, I see the reports every week in the Gaelic, and I think he's playing out of his skin for Glenullan as well. So, I mean, fair dues. But Jamie, I'll come back to you. You were at the game, as I mentioned, and it was a comfortable win for Korean. Looking back on the stats over the game, Korean had 12 shots, efforts on target. Balamina had no efforts on target over the 90 minutes. You're a veteran of the Korean Balamina derbies. Did you think there was something maybe missing in terms of, from Balamina's perspective, they didn't have a massive crowd there on Saturday, and the ease with which Korean won, did it take a little bit of the tension out of what is normally a feisty derby?
I think it did. I don't know if there was restrictions or anything like that, but Jackie was actually at the game with me as well, and we expected maybe a wee bit more fight in the game more than anything else, because any me and both Jackie has been involved in, there's always flying tackles and all the rest, but this one, it was a bit more flat, so to speak.
I mean, as you say, Jackie was there. I think Brad Lyons was there too. It was a bit of a sort of reunion, wasn't it?
That was. It was good. It was good to see Brad again, chat to him. I haven't seen him now in a few months. And then Jackie as well. He only made a last minute decision to go. I had sorted that I was going down from the start of the week, and then lucky enough because then he ended up lifting me and stuff too.
Handy enough. Just when you go down on Saturday and you watch. I'm just trying to think. I mean, is there many of the guys still there from when you played?
In that Korean team?
In the Korean team. There's probably quite a few, is there?
Still be quite a few, yeah. There'd be like Landon, Stevie O'Donnell, Gareth McConaughey's still there. Rodney was actually there when I first came into Korean as well, before he left. Aaron Trainer, just thinking through, yeah, most of that squad was there when I was there.
But and then obviously there's a lot of new players, and I mean, you've left a few years ago and the Korean team. I mean, are you impressed with the way that Oren consistently refreshes the team and yet maintains the team as a challenge, as a viable league title challengers? He keeps bringing in new players and keeps doing it, doesn't he?
He does, aye. It's impressive, but at the same time, I'm not surprised because of the type of manager Oren is. He always seems to get the best out of whatever he's got, but obviously now there's a lot of quality there and whatever else. It's well documented about lower budget than maybe certain other clubs, Belfast clubs and whatever else, but he always seems to be able to do the business with what he's got.
It is. It's a mark of his managerial abilities, Johnny. And I suppose, aside from the result on the pitch, Johnny, on Saturday, it was a memorable day off the pitch as well, given... well, much publicised new pitch and stuff, but I mean, there was a real feel good factor about the showgrounds on Saturday, wasn't there, with the pitch, the result, and a lot of new faces at the match.
Yeah, obviously we had Colin on the podcast last week, and I think there was a bit of, maybe not nervousness, but just wanting everything to go well, and obviously we had a big crowd there. I think our attendance was over 3,000. Obviously we got the result as well, and all the ground improvements with the pitch and the new stand and things, or the new Stevie screen, sorry, and the like a paint right everywhere, and the dugouts and stuff, so in the change rooms as well. So yeah, it was a busy weekend for the club, and they had to play on the pitch thing on Friday night as well, and obviously a lot of sports clubs donated money towards different projects and that there. So yeah, it was great to see everything come to fruition, and as Oren rightly said, it was all about getting the 3 points on the pitch on Saturday, and the players definitely produced that. I thought Ballymena probably had a spell maybe for 10 minutes in the second half, and that was about it. Aaron Trainer made a good header under the crossbar, but other than that, it was comfortable for Korean. And we were saying we just needed a second goal just to see the game through, and thankfully Skinner got that. And it's funny because we were in the press box as well, and Bushy came on. I just said he was going to score, and Stevie Lurie picked him out with a great pass, and he took it well.
Yeah, Jamie, you probably know all the guys, but you're talking about Skinner there. But you know, I was just looking before we come on the Danske Bank Premiership, and one of the leading goal scorers in the league is Matthew Shevlin. I think he is on 5 goals. Him and Christy Manzinga leading the way. How impressed have you been with his start to the season, Jamie, as a fellow striker?
It's a brilliant start. I mean, what many games has played? 6, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And 5 games and 6 goals it's good for anybody in the world of football, never mind the Irish League or whatever. But he's got himself off to a good start, and it gives him a good benchmark to have to be that 20 goal a season striker. So hopefully he can go on and do that now for Korean.
Yeah, because that's something that's obviously we've talked a lot about in the podcast in the past as well. And like every other club, Korean are always searching for that elusive 20 goal a season striker. And perhaps somebody like a Chevy there, as you say, and maybe it's the one Bradley factor again that brings out the best in people. Maybe he's going to make his career too. What do you think?
I know. Skinner, I mean, Chevy sort of, he would have been similar to me in a way, and likes to run on behind and that, and Skinner wouldn't have the legs to do that anyway, but what he does in the hold-up would allow Matthew Shevlin to get in behind, and that's when you're going to get chances. When you turn defenders, they don't want to run towards their own goal. So I think playing along with Skinner is going to be a big learning curve for him.
I think so. I mean, and as you said, and we joked about it, he had a big hand in your career. And well, maybe just look, you know, maybe go back a little bit and look at your own time at Corian, Jamie, because obviously you're on the Corian podcast. I think you started maybe Dungiven Celtic, and then you ended up, you came to Corian, I think, in 2015 and joined the reserves. I mean, what do you remember about that particular time? And you know, was it a big step even leaving Dungiven Celtic to go to Corian, even though, albeit it was the reserves?
I think it was whenever I had left Limavady Youth. I think it was under 16s because I hadn't made the Foyles Cup squad for it, and then went back to Dungiven Celtic, played there for a year under 17s, captained that, and had a few senior games. And then I think it was through the recommendation of Damien Mullen, Adam's father, Johnny Law, needed a striker, and he suggested me. Johnny contacted me and I says I might as well go try it, and that was just that from there, really.
And I mean, you took to it like a duck to water. I mean, I think he scored a lot. I mean, how many goals? Did you score 30 goals in a season with the reserves? Is that right?
I think it might have been all in, including the first team games and a couple under 19 games. I think it had 42.
That's not bad. Johnny, that's not bad in anybody's book, is it?
He knows it's 42. He's not it's 40. He knows it.
He knows exactly.
Oh, he knows. That man knows. Look at the smiles of him there. He knows rightly. I remember obviously hearing about Jamie playing for the reserves, and he broke in the first team pretty quickly. I think you're David's Way Institute or something, if I remember rightly.
The Institute in February, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously he played a lot of games there. And it's probably a good time to come in because I think you finished bottom six that year and you got plenty of games, and then obviously developed and played more through the centre rather than the graveyard shift out in the wing anyway. Don't be too much work reading you out in the wing, Jimmy.
I mean, you what was it like breaking into the first team? Because I mean, you were like a relatively young person at that time, Jimmy. I mean, was it, were you overawed, or did you feel like you were okay and you could took to it quite quickly?
Well, I would have been a bit nervous, obviously, the first time going into the changing room and that, but it sort of helped. I think I'd already knew Adam, Lyndon was sort of coming through at that time, and Brad, and we had all played together, so sort of made it a bit easier. Plus then the senior players like Neil McCafferty and boys like Doogie, they just told you to relax and just enjoy the training, try your best and see what happens, and it was sort of plain sailing from there.
And obviously you mentioned Johnny Law, the reserves, and he, I mean, he obviously played a key role as well as Oren, but Johnny would have, you know, brought you on a lot in the reserves, and I suppose you owe a bit to him as well.
Oh, definitely. Johnny was brilliant with me from the first. I think my first thing at Corian reserves was actually a game, and he started me. I didn't expect to start. I scored after 15 minutes. It was up at Seaview. And from then he was just drilling into me. He says, I'm going to get you into this first team. You're going to be a first team player at Corian. So he obviously had that belief in me, and I think it helped my development because it gave me that confidence to know that I could go on to the next stage.
And I suppose like any footballer needs that little bit of confidence, and particularly a striker, don't they? If you've got somebody that backs you, you're going to back yourself then.
Well, I think a striker especially, I think, is very much a confidence player. If you're scoring goals, you're going to naturally play better. Whereas if you're in a drought, things aren't dropping, it's maybe easy to drop the head in that. So no, but I would say striker's definitely a confidence player.
Yeah, and I mean, Johnny, you mentioned there first hearing about Jamie, and I mean, you and Jamie are quite friendly and stuff. How impressed were you when he broke through into the team? You're obviously a Korean supporter yourself. You must have been delighted seeing Jamie coming through and being that goal scorer that every club looks for.
What was that, Jimmy?
It'll be hard for him to compliment me here.
Nah, I'll be nice to you. Flip side, we need more guests on before the end of the season. No, obviously, as I said previously, you came in probably a good time. I think you'd really admit that yourself, obviously, with Corian finishing the bottom six and not much expectation. Obviously, it was good to get the likes of yourself and Lyndon and Adam the perfect time to take them through. And I think you scored a few goals actually for the first team that season. I think you were in the split games as well. Could be wrong in saying that. And then obviously you developed on, and it was a quick development, obviously, because then I think maybe a couple of years after that we won the Irish Cup as well and got the Cup final. So yeah, obviously it must have been an absolute quick transition for you from Gavin Sullivan really into the first team of Korean.
And what would be your best memories? Jamie, Johnny mentioned the Irish Cup, obviously that was a good memory, and maybe missing out in the league, not such a good memory, but you obviously have a lot of highlights from your time at the Showgrounds.
Oh, well, the Irish Cup's sort of the obvious highlight, but even just the things like getting into Europe and, you know, getting away as a group, getting a night out, bit of fun, bit of banter and whatever, and just things like that. And then the games you'd be involved in, like the 5-3 up at Larne that night in the Irish Cup, just games like that. There's probably too many to name.
Well, that's a good game, actually. You remember that was one of your better goals, would it be?
It's probably that's my second goal that night. It's probably one of my favourite now, still to this day.
It was a great finish, wasn't it? Even Johnny would probably admit that, would you, Johnny?
That's it, was it? No, that was an unbelievable game. Funny, everyone chats about your second goal that night, but the first goal, the equaliser as well. A great time to score it. And I hope you don't mind me saying this. If you hit that probably cleaner, it probably doesn't go in, but the way you hit it, it just. Yeah, it was a great. That was some night. Obviously, I think they scored an OG to make it 4-3, and then obviously you ran down the pitch and scored the fifth goal of the night. So yeah, that was some game. And then we played them the year after, and I was in New York away on holiday and missed it, and that was another cracker. Me sitting in New York at 2:30 in the afternoon watching the match go mad. So yeah, two cracking games against Larne and the Irish Cup final or semi final the year before that as well. So they must have been absolutely sick of the sight of us.
And then what does he do, Johnny? Then he goes and leaves.
He goes and leaves us. I still haven't forgiven him, and he always scored against us as well. But actually, that was a good omen, because any time he did score against us, we won. So that was always a good crack.
We're just saying about the good times, Jamie, and 179 appearances and 65 goals, I think it was overall. And then you left. I mean, was it a tough decision to go to Crusaders, or was it something that you just felt that you wanted to do, try the full-time football aspect? Or just talk us maybe a little bit through about the decision to go to Seaview.
The season before, I think Crusaders had came in as well, and Bourne had came to me and told me, and I was like, no, I'm happy to stay here. And then Bourne had went to St Mirren, then they had came in for him. And then I don't think anybody would say that season was really that good. It was sort of stop-start. And then Crusaders came in again. They were coming in this time with a full-time offer. And it was something, me graduating out of university and that was me finished being a student then. It was a really good opportunity for me to go and make it a full-time job and see how I get on anyway.
I suppose, like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, footballers leave clubs and supporters don't like it when players leave, etc. But from your point of view, it's a kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? You know, somebody's going to come along, offer you a full-time football career. Obviously, you're going to get reasonably good pay for it, etc., etc. You're joining a club that's challenging for honours. It's something that you're going to have to go and try, isn't it?
Yes, it's just one of them things. It was a tough decision. I did love my time at Corian, but sometimes you just have to move on and challenge yourself with different things and freshen it up a wee bit, and that's just what I decided to do.
What about your time at Crusaders, Jimmy? Looking back on it now, I should say, happy with your time there, or do you think that things could have been better?
Things can always be better. My first year, I loved it, but I think that was maybe because I was playing more attacking areas. I scored 22 goals. I was always getting in the end of chances. And then my second year there, it was sort of more different. I was doing more defending, which, as Johnny mentioned earlier, is not really my game. Things just didn't really work out in the second season there. I was wanting to play up front, and Stephen was wanting a different role out of me. And then so when we eventually had the chat at the end of the season, it was just the right thing that I was to move on.
To be honest now, I mean, Johnny and I, like an hour, and we've talked about it. We, you know, whenever you were at Crusaders and we would go to the games and stuff. And I always said, for the life of me, I could never understand why Crusaders would pay such a big fee for you and then take you there and then maybe not play you and use you to your strengths. I mean, Johnny, as I said, we talked about it many times, and I couldn't understand why you have a striker that's a goal scorer and you play him on the right wing.
Yeah, obviously, Jamie had a really good first season with Crusaders, scored a lot of goals, and then sometimes he's playing on the right, or sometimes not even playing at all. And Jamie's a goal scorer, I don't mind saying that, and he scored a lot of goals for Crusaders as well. And yeah, it was a weird one. I think the 4-3-3 probably just didn't suit Jamie at Crusaders because they always played with a target man, whether that be Jordan Owens or Adam Leckie. So I think like a 4-4-2 team, I think he probably would have more complaints because they had to play two up front. And but because they're 4-4-3, Owens and Leggy are target men, he's always probably going to play more in wider positions as well. So yeah, he scored a lot of goals for Crusaders. I don't really know why, if they spent all that money bringing them in, that they would have played him probably out of position as well, and probably led to a lot of frustration, and probably why he wouldn't enjoy there either.
But I mean, it's like everything in life, Jamie, you learn from it, and it's a good experience. And I'm sure, you know, going to Crusaders at the time and a full-time operation, I guess, was quite a career progression for you. And did you learn a lot from your time at North Belfast?
I still learnt a lot. I still picked up a lot of things. And you know, even if I would call that playing me out of position, I still had to pick up that what way to shape, you know, for defending, and just simple things like that, when to press, when not to press. And I still learnt a lot, but the main thing is I was still happy with my goal return. I had 32 goals, and I think I played 60 odd games, which I think is a good return from playing in the wing. But you know, I'm just delighted now that I've moved on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously your time at Crusaders came to an end. You and Stephen had a chat and agreed maybe to a parting of the ways, and even then, there was a number of clubs, I think, were linked with you. And obviously, Corian were one of the clubs that was mentioned, as people were saying, oh, Jamie, maybe like we'll return to Corian. Was that ever a realistic possibility, Jamie, or was that just like newspaper talk?
No, I'd heard, just like you as well, I'd heard the rumours that Corian were in Larne, obviously. And I know I think Corian had made a bid and it was rejected, but until it gets past that stage, no, I can't. There's nothing really I can do. I have to wait until bids are accepted before I can do anything. And then Derry just came on then, and it really just took off from there. It was done in the space of 24 or 48 hours.
That's crazy. But I mean, Larne had a good offer on the table. I think some people were maybe surprised when you didn't go to Larne, but I think you were quoted just saying that you didn't feel right, it wasn't the right thing. And I guess your patience was well rewarded, because you've got a great move to Derry City, and it's just up the road from your home in Dungiven.
That's it. Whenever on that day, I had that actual meeting with Stephen Baxter, told me there was a bid accepted from Larne, so I can go and speak to them. So there was a chat with Kenny Bruce, and then obviously Kiernan, and there was a really, really good offer on the table. But as I spoke to my dad and spoke to Cara, it was just, it didn't really suit, because I'm only after buying a house in Dungiven, so it didn't really suit traveling up there 5-6 days a week, because you'd just be out lots of money and fuel, and it's lots of traveling. And I started Crusaders, I was actually car sharing with Jared Doherty, so it wasn't too bad. But then with him being injured, and then he wasn't up for the last few months, and I was myself, so I really didn't want to be doing all that traveling again.
And then obviously the Larne thing. And then when Derry City came in, did you talk to Rory? Was that how it worked then? And whenever he spoke to you, was it an easy decision for you to make then to go to Derry City?
Well, I was actually out playing golf at the time too. And Stephen Whelan, my agent, had rang me and says, Derry's interested. Is it something you'd want to do? And I says, oh, definitely I would. And then it sort of just went from there. Derry bid, Crusaders accepted it. I met Rory in that and literally signed the next day. Played that week.
It all worked out very quickly, Johnny, didn't it? From a Korean supporter's point of view, were you happy that Jamie went to Derry City as opposed to Larne? You'd rather him scoring goals in another league as opposed to playing for Larne and scoring goals against Korean potentially?
Yeah, obviously me and I think Jamie and Speed died around that time, trying to see if we were going to come back this. And
I thought you were his agent, no?
No, I think I had a false sense of hope. I think he gave me a false sense of hope. But no, listen, I think playing for Derry City, I think Jamie supported Derry City was going up. And I think he's wanted to brand new well and stuff throughout his career. So it's a good move for him. Obviously he's going to be playing, I think he's playing as a striker for him as well and scoring a few goals. So yeah, I was happy for him. Obviously he probably, Joey won't mind me saying, probably just didn't really enjoy the end of his time at Crusaders and thought it was a new challenge for him. And yeah, he obviously played with Rory Higgins as well, Corey Ian, which would help him as well. So, and he's got Jackie there as well as his best friend or boyfriend, I don't know what they are. So yeah, it was obviously a good move for him. And it's one of the things that you look at the league table, they're pushing for Europe as well. I think we'll need 3 or 4 points behind Sligo Rovers as well. So yeah, it's a new league for him, and definitely get spotted in that league as well. So I'm sure his eyes maybe I don't know, maybe playing over the water someday. Who knows?
I mean, Jamie, do you still harbour ambitions of playing across the water?
I haven't thought too much about it more recently. Because I'm 25 now, so if something did come up, no, it would have to be the right move. As I said there with me buying a house and whatever else, no, I've more to think about now than just myself. So, obviously, if the chance came along, it would be a good opportunity. But I'll not get too far ahead of myself yet.
No, exactly. And Johnny had mentioned the Derry manager Rory Higgins. Obviously, played for a spell under Owen at Corrien, and then he was with Stephen Kenny. With the Republic of Ireland set up, but then left to take over at Derry. And I think it's fair to say, looking from the outside, he's done a hell of a job. You know, when he came in Derry City, I think we're in a relatively low place. The confidence wasn't too good. And as Johnny referenced, you're sitting, I think, fourth in the league now and pushing for that European spot. What's Rory like as a manager? Because we know him as a player, he always seemed quiet-ish. But, I mean, as a manager, I mean, he's obviously doing something right.
I think Rory, well, from my own personal experience, having played with him has sort of made it an easier transition into Derry as well, because I already know him. But I think he's similar to what he was like in the dressing room, though his attitude, his professionalism, it's all top notch. And I think just his knowledge of the game and his tactical awareness and analysis of a game and things like that, they're just all at the top. So I think everybody's enjoying playing under him. Trainings are really enjoyable. I think once you start picking up results, I think everything, it sort of snowballs from there and just keeps going on.
And he seems to have a bit of a vision for where he wants the club to go to. I think he has an emphasis on trying to recruit local players, young local players, try to give them a decent contract to try and build a nucleus of a squad that will be there for some time. Because I think in the past, it seemed to me that Derry City would sign players on a year contract and then they would be there for a season and then they would leave and there was no real continuity. Whereas now, you're in a contract and obviously you've got a couple of big players coming in. You know, Patrick Michelini has signed in a deal, and then today it's just been revealed that Michael Duffy's signed a pre-contract, I think a 4-year contract, is that right?
4-year contract, yeah.
I mean, how excited as a striker must you be? You've got two guys, two top players in any league, whether it's Irish League, League of Ireland, across the water, two guys that got coming into your side. I mean, you must be so excited as a striker to play in front of those two boys.
Oh, it's massive. I definitely am excited. I mean, even the goals they score, never mind the assists they have, but they're two of probably the best players in the league in the last number of years. But it just shows you the intent that Rory has, signing everybody down to long-term contracts, plus players like Evan McLaughlin and that, the younger boys coming through, who's a top player. It just shows you the direction that he wants the club to go on, and hopefully it's a force for a few years.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's probably fair to say Derry had been in the doldrums for a year or two. They were a big force in the League of Ireland, but sort of fell away a little bit. It does seem to be between Rory and the chairman and the board, there's a real concerted effort to get Derry back to where they once were.
Oh, I think that's natural as well. But if you're not doing as well, you naturally want to get back near the top. And I think things are definitely going the right way at the minute. And with Rui as a manager, I don't see why they couldn't achieve where they want to go.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, I don't know how much you know about the League of Ireland and the players and stuff, but those two guys that we just mentioned, you know, Patrick Michelini and Michael Duffy are two names that are known to most football fans in this island, aren't they?
Yeah, obviously they've both had two good spells. Both of them have obviously played well with Dundalk. I think Michelini scored an unbelievable goal in Europe there this year.
They did.
As well, and I think Michael Duffy is in the books at Celtic, so... Yeah, look, they walk in the any team, both North and South Island, so I'm sure Gino will be looking forward to they teaming up with them two guys and playing with them. That'll be some strike for us anyway. So, yeah, exciting times. I think there'll be plenty of goals in that team anyway.
Yeah, I think you were taking the mickey out of Jamie earlier, saying that would he struggle for his place in the team now?
I know, I said then he'll be bench warming them for him now. He'll be cleaning Michael Duffy's boots or something. I don't know.
I don't know about that. I think Jamie's all right. But I suppose, you know, we're talking about Derry City and Jamie's on the show this evening or this afternoon. And it brings up the old topic again of an All-Ireland football tournament, league, whatever you want to call it. When we're talking about Derry City and those players and Jamie, the prospect of playing Derry City in some sort of competition, Johnny, sounds an exciting one, doesn't it? I'd like to see those players playing against the likes of Corian.
Yeah, obviously, we played in Stefana Cup, obviously, a few years ago as well. I don't know if Gino was with us at that stage, but, you know, we beat Shamrock Rovers away and we beat Dundalk away, and they were two fantastic trips. Obviously, they knocked us right back at the show rounds, but I think like a one-off competition like that there would be fantastic. You're testing yourselves against the best players in the League of Ireland, and that can only improve you as a team. Obviously, I've never seen Corian play Derry. There'll be a lot of people my age as well would love to see like a proper derby between the two and the atmosphere and everything that would bring. So, yeah, obviously, it would be fantastic one day if we can get a cup competition with the All Ireland League as well. One off game, I think it's brilliant. The atmosphere and everything that's fantastic, and the travelling. You're going to grounds that you've probably never been to before. Like, I'd never been to Dundalk, for example, until a few years ago as well. So, yeah, it'd be fantastic to see, and you're testing yourself against the best players.
Jamie, you've played both sides of the border in football. Well, is there much of a difference in standard between the two leagues?
There's obviously quality in both leagues. I just think the difference that I've noticed between the North and the South, every team would nearly play out from the back and stuff like that. Whereas in the North, it's more get it forward early and play off that. I think the South, it's a bit more tactical, maybe it would be called, but there's quality on both sides. And I think, as Johnny mentioned there, if it was a one-off competition, I think it would be a good idea to sort of test yourself against different teams, both sides of the border. But when I was a Corian, we had played Derry City for friendlies and stuff, but they're not really real games. People are resting players and whatever else, so if there was a one-off competition, I think it would be interesting to see what way it would pan out.
What about an All-Ireland League? Would that be a non-starter from your point of view?
Well, it obviously would depend on clubs surviving. Like the smaller clubs, would they be looked after? No, it's not fair in them if they're just cast to the side or whatever and just look after the big boys. But I would probably be open to it if it was right for everyone. But I don't see it happening during my playing career anyway.
I know it seems to be something that's perennially talked about, and nothing ever seems to happen, and it comes up every couple of years. But as you say, maybe not in our time, a cup competition probably would work in some respects. But looking at Derry City, as I said earlier, you're right up there, and you have a big game this weekend, Friday night, I think, Shamrock Rovers, Jamie.
Right, night away the Rovers. I have another massive game. We've 8 games left, and every game now we're going to have to just treat as a cup final and to see where it takes us. But there's no bigger test than away to Shamrock Rovers. I mean, they're top of the league by 9 points. They're an unbelievable team. I only played against them for 20 minutes around the start, and the way they pass and move the ball and get about you is next level, to be honest.
And I mean, What would it mean to Derry City to get into Europe? Because obviously we know what it's like for a Korean making Europe. It's financially, it's massive. For supporters, it's massive, and the players. And I'm guessing it would be something similar for Derry City, wouldn't it?
Oh, well, if we could manage to do it, I think it's the same as any club. You're just so happy to get into Europe. It's great for the fans, great financially for the club, but I think as well for the players, if you could qualify for Europe, it sort of grows that belief even more, what you can go on to do and keep trying to better yourself the next season, see where you can push on to.
Yeah, because you mentioned it earlier in the conversation that you were in Europe with Korean, and just in terms of advancement for players and as a club, it's a massive thing, isn't it? Just a European competition.
Oh, it is. And like, it's similar as we were saying there, the North teams in the North and South competing against each other to see where you're at. It's an even bigger stage. Getting away in Europe, teams you get to play against, and you really see where you're at, and you get to experience different countries and stuff. So it's massive in all aspects if you manage to get into Europe.
Johnny, have you been up to see any Derry City games recently? No,
actually, I've never ever been. Me and Aaron spoke about it one thing, but he's MIA. I don't know where he's at these days.
I don't even know who this person is you're talking about.
Hi, Aaron O'Neill. Has anyone heard from him? No.
We'll put out an appeal.
It'd be good. Be good they got there and watch it. Obviously, we played at the Brandy Railway with against the Institute, so it's a good place to watch football. So yeah, obviously, I'd love to get spun up and give a bit of use to Jamie. You know?
Jamie, what sort of crowds is Derry getting at the moment?
I think they're on Friday night past, they were allowed 2,000, and there's still restrictions there. So at the minute, it's 2,000, but for the game and away to Rovers on Friday night, there's 4,000 going, I think.
Because I think Derry City would be like Korean and like any club. Whenever they're going well, they really do bring a big crowd, don't they?
Well, they do, yeah. I think, well, I haven't got to experience a full Brandywell yet because obviously in COVID and restrictions and whatever else, but the noise that they make at the minute is phenomenal, sort of similar to what Korean would have done that year in the run for the league in the Irish Cup. But I'm just looking forward to see a packed Brandywell and really see how loud it can get.
Yeah, I mean, a big crowd, something else. Johnny, you mentioned it earlier, big crowd on Saturday, and Korean have no game until next Monday, and they're away to Crusaders. We were just talking about big crowds, and I still recall that the year that Korean were going for the league and the crowd that Korean brought to Seaview that night. I mean, that was a hell of a crowd that night, Johnny, wasn't it? Although they'll not be the same this year, but they're always big games, aren't they?
Yeah, I remember that crowd as well. I think it was the Easter Tuesday game. Jamie scored from a penalty and looked like we're going to win it. I think Cushley scored about 5 minutes to go. I think it might have hit his arse or something in the back of the net. I don't know where it came off, but yeah, they're always big games up at Seaview, and they've actually had a decent record up there recently as well. And yeah, I expect nothing different this time around. Crusaders, Bournemouth on Saturday, they've probably been disrespected in a way. Like, nobody would have thought they would have beaten Larne and Glentoran if they come off the back of two big results. And Adam Leckie scored a good goal on Saturday. I seen it. He made a good run and tugged it away well. And they've kept a clean sheet. Two clean sheets against Larne and Glentoran, which I don't think they sniffed at either. So it's probably the most informed teams at the minute, if you take the last three or four games. So it's all set up to be a cracker, and they always seem to be up there.
And it really does suit, I suppose, the Crusaders' mentality, doesn't it? Being sort of written off even before the season started. I mean, Stephen Baxter and the players will relish in that, won't they? All the focus is on the Larns and the Glens and all.
Yeah, like, it's a wee bit, even like Liverpool, I think, in the Premier League this year, a lot of people chatting about, you know, like Chelsea and City and even United to an extent with Ronaldo coming back, but Liverpool are moving on rightly, and so are Crusaders. And Jamie will know better than anyone that Stephen Baxter's a winner, and you know, I bring another league title back to Crusaders, and they've started really, really well, to be fair to them, as well. And McMurray seems to be fitting in nicely, and as well as that. And maybe a lot wasn't made about their signings as well. Maybe a few people might have turned their nose up at them, but no, they've started like a house on fire, and it's really been a big game.
Jamie, you've been in this inside the Crusaders changing room. The players, I mean, and manager Stephen Baxter, will they relish the fact that people have been talking up other teams and not them?
I think they will. I think they'll relish it because everybody's sort of just forgetting about them and just sort of sliding under the radar a bit, and they'll just, that'll be their mentality now, just to go and prove people wrong. And the main focus up there will be just concentrating their own results, and they'll just see what comes from it from there and not listen really to the outside talk.
Yeah, and I think one of the sort of the success stories for Crusaders thus far this year is the form of Ben Kennedy. I think people have been sort of, I think even Stephen Baxter was talking about him, and even Ben Kennedy himself. He obviously came into the team and maybe didn't show last season what he was capable of, but you've seen him. I mean, is he a player that could really sort of go further now in the Crusaders team once he's settled?
He is. I know Ben from the 21s and that, and he's a really good footballer, really good left foot. He was sort of in and out of the team, but stop start last season, and this season now he seems to he has a proper pre-season under him, so he's going to be a lot fitter, and hopefully he gets a run of games now. But I think definitely he's definitely I think in my opinion the best player up there.
Mm-hmm. And Corian going up there on Monday night, I think it's on Sky if I'm not wrong. Two teams both sitting on 10 points, Jimmy. I mean, what way would you see the game going? I mean, do you see Orne going up looking not to get beat, or Corian go to win the game, or what way do you sort of see panning out?
I don't see Orne going up not to get beat. I mean, they're only off the back of a 3-0 win, so they'll be full of confidence. I think obviously you'll have to keep it tight first 10 or 15 minutes. Most of them games usually start cagey enough and sort of just feel from there. But I think whoever gets the first goal will be important.
The first goal always important. Other games this weekend, Johnny, I think the action starts on Friday night. There's a massive game at the National Stadium, Linfield, home to Cliftonville. That's a big game for the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, Cliftonville started really, really well. I think they're unbeaten as well, and they're winning ugly and winning well. I think they beat Warren Point by only a single goal on Saturday, and I was reading there that Paddy McLaughlin said that was their toughest game of the season, which is big praise considering they've already played the likes of us and Crusaders. So, yep, and Linfield, obviously they played Tuesday night, so they'll be playing Tuesday, Friday, so I'm sure that'll keep them happy. But you know, they had a 3-0 win at the Glens, which would have raised a lot of eyebrows as well. Clifford seemed to have their number the last couple of seasons, but no, I watched the highlights back. Maybe the Glentoran keeper will be disappointed with a couple of goals he conceded. But listen, that they go and win 3-0 at the home of your rivals is always feels good. It's set up to be a great game.
Yeah, you just mentioned Glentoran. It's been a sticky spell for them. A couple of bad defeats. I think lost 3-0 to Crusaders, and then lost last night Tuesday 3-0 at home to Linfield. And I think a section of the Glentoran support letting their feelings be known to the manager, Mick McDermott. It's not a great situation up at the Oval just at this minute in time.
It's not ideal in terms of the fans, but I always look back at last season. Glentoran didn't start very well at all, and they went on a massive run. And there was chat with them, I think, around February, March time, that they won the league. And look, you look at their squad, the season's only starting, only 7 points off the top. You look at their squad, it's scary, it's frightening with the players they have, especially in the attacking area. So I don't think they've too many reasons to be overly worried just yet. Obviously, it's not like them to lose back-to-back games at home. Their home record has been very, very good. So, and I think they're away to Glenavon on Saturday.
They are, indeed.
As well, and Glenavon are off the back of just losing out to Larne as well. So that'll be an interesting one. Obviously, a lot of players have played, obviously, for both clubs as well, which sets up to be nice. Gary Hamilton as well, obviously, used to play for the Glens. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, and there could be a lot of goals in that one as well.
Yeah, Jamie, are you surprised at Glentoran's recent form?
I'm surprised a bit because of the squad they have and the quality of player they have. But any club can go into a bad run, maybe conceding a sloppy goal or conceding goals at the wrong time, maybe not chances not falling to your strikers. It's easy to fall into a bad run like that, but it'll be all about for Glentoran now how quickly they can get out of that bad run.
Can it be a case sometimes that, you know, Glentoran have a big squad, can it be a case sometimes that you have too many players and maybe a manager doesn't know their best 11? Can that happen?
Well, I'm no manager, but I would say if you had 35 players and you could only pick 11, it's going to take you a long time until you know what your best 11 is. And They just seem to keep signing players as well, and I don't know. I wouldn't know who to pick anyway.
No, I think that could be. I look at it, and I'm no manager either, and that does seem to be maybe part of the problem, and that's maybe explains why Owen Kearney traditionally likes a small squad. You know your nucleus of your team, and then you can mix and match from there. So, Ballymena just finally Carrick away on Saturday. That's another big game for Ballymena. Jimmy, they did well last night. I think on the back of the Korean defeat, if they had a loss last night at home to Dungannon, I think the pressure would have been on David Jeffrey. But they managed to get out with a win, albeit 4-3.
Yeah, it doesn't matter really the scoreline as long as you get the win. But away to Carrick for them will be another tough game. I think Carrick have started all right. Did they draw 0-0 with Larne, did I see? So, and that's a great result for them. So I would expect, it's always tough at Carrick's pitch down in Taylor's Avenue, small tight pitch downhill. And then obviously Stuarty King has them going well. David Cushley going there, goal scoring threat. So it'll be another tough game for Ballymena for sure.
Indeed, Carrick in the same points as Korean, actually 10 points. So it gives you an indication of just what a good job Stuarty King is doing up there, doesn't it? So, I mean, as ever, guys, there's going to be a full weekend. As I said earlier, Linfield Cliftonville on Friday night starts it. And then there's matches on the Saturday and finishes with the Crusaders Korean on the Monday night. And I think, you know, that's a massive game for both sides, Crusaders, Korean, both in 10 points. Winner of that under 13 points really would steal a march on their rivals. So, would you get to go and see it? Well, that'll be on Sky, Jimmy. You'd probably watch that then, would you?
I would say I'll probably watch that one on TV, I would say.
And who would you be cheering for?
Yeah, bro.
Very good, Jimmy. Diplomatic as ever. I like it. Johnny, what are you at this weekend? Are you going to any of the matches, or are you waiting until Monday, the Crusaders?
No, I'm actually for Glasgow this weekend. So,
are you?
I'm away to watch a particular football team, which won't take much for tonight. So, hopefully.
Who did it play?
Rangers against Hibs. Hopefully I'm allowed in the ground. There's some confusion over a COVID passport. You think you need to be from Scotland or something. I don't know. I have both vaccines, the COVID NA app sorted, so hopefully they let me in. And hopefully good result on Sunday and a good result on Monday will set me up for the week.
Well, just think, if you don't get into the match, you can go shopping, so that'll be something to look forward to. So enjoy your weekend. And Jimmy, thanks very much for coming on the podcast. It's great to have you and great to have a good chat with you. I haven't seen you for a while. Good luck on Friday. Positive result would go a long way to securing a coveted European place, wouldn't it?
Well, if we can beat the Shamrock Rovers on Friday, it'd be a massive result. It's definitely a step in the right direction. And listen, it's just the usual one game at a time. So we'll concentrate on Friday and see what happens from there.
Another wee goal wouldn't go amiss. The one you scored the other day, was that your 100th, was it?
The one against Bohemians on Monday night was 100th, and then the one on Friday was the 101.
Oh, did you score another one? I didn't see that one. I seen the 100th one.
I scored on Friday night there as well.
Did I take a deflection that 100th one? No. Maybe not. But here, congratulations, 100 goals in senior football. It's a good achievement, isn't it?
I think because I'm still only 25 and they have reached 100 goals. Also, it's a good achievement for me, and hopefully I can get to the 200 mark.
Very good. Play for another 10 years yet?
Hopefully.
Well, here, good luck on Friday night, and good luck for the rest of the season with Derry. We'll keep a watch with interest, and fingers crossed that you get into Europe. And obviously, those two big players coming in next year, we'll be looking to see you making a charge for the league title in the years to come. No pressure. So here, Jimmy, thanks very much. Johnny, thank you. Enjoy your weekend shopping in Glasgow. And for everybody else, we will see and see you on Monday for those that can make it, and for those that can't, it's on Sky. So best of luck to Oren and the guys. And as ever, come on the Bansiders.